We're going to turn to the book of Luke chapter 17, please. So glad to see all of you tonight. Want to also welcome any of you who would like to get a better seat. You can go ahead and do that. Right now, that would be a smart idea, but I'm not going to bug you this time. Just make the suggestion. Remember to take a look out there at the book table. I mentioned several evangelists whose books and ministry are on the table. Now I want to mention one more. His name is Rick Flanders. Now, Rick Flanders is right here in person, and my book, Back to Normal, is there. If you haven't read that, it seems to help a lot of people understand revival, so I do recommend you get it. It's one of the books that the church is going to take care of half the cost, so it's a dirt cheap bargain. So look at that. Now, there's one more out there. It's a little one for $2. Called, Does God Care About What I Wear? Now, clothing, dress styles are the subjects of sermons that irritate people, okay? And yet, you know, we have a tendency to react and the pendulum swing the other way. And you know, some have made it sound like certain dress styles make you bad and certain ways of dressing make you godly. Neither one of those is true. It's not the outward that makes you godly. But it's also not true that there's nothing in the Bible about our clothes. I heard a recording of a very well-respected preacher who said there's nothing in the Bible to indicate what we should wear and what we shouldn't wear. And I listened to that recording. Do you ever talk to an inanimate object? This was do you remember back the cassette tapes? This was a cassette tape player. And I looked at the cassette tape player and said to that preacher, what Bible are you reading? Did you know that issues about covering the body, they're not the big thing. They are from the beginning of the Bible to the end. No kidding. And I actually went through and counted the number of books that actually address issues about that, and it's a lot of them. Now, why am I even writing a book like that or bringing it up? It was a talk that I gave at the Bill Rice Ranch and at a Christian college about this question. Now, the reason I bring it up is revival, when we're revived and brought close to God, we care about what He cares about. And clothing isn't the biggest thing, but it's definitely on the list. Definitely. So let's not go by Brother Flanders, but let's find out from the Bible what God thinks or what He wants about our clothes, and not just women's clothes. There is more in the Bible against male nakedness than against female nakedness. Did you know that? For different reasons, but it's right there. So anyway, $2. And if you'd like to read the book, I think it'll introduce you to a subject you'll find in the Bible. It'll help you please the Lord, which is what we're together to do. Okay? Now, remember, tomorrow night, Landon is going to be having a children's meeting. I want to make it clear that the kids, like these guys over here, the best people in the congregation, are going to walk out before I preach. The whole evening isn't going to be a kids' service. I'll be in here with the adults or teenagers. I'll be babysitting them while they're out there listening to Brother Landon, and it's going to be good. So I'd like to suggest that our young people maybe invite some of your friends from school to come tomorrow night. It is going to be really good. And I also am going to suggest that you invite your mom or your dad, because what I'm talking about could really help them. It might even open their eyes as to how to get saved. And I'd like that to be a great night out there with Landon and in here with me. So let's all plan ahead and do what we can do about that. Luke 17, okay? Hope you had a good day. What was your day like? Nobody groans in agony. Did anything really bad happen? Okay, so it was a pretty good day. That's all right. Okay, Luke 17, first verse. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Verse 10. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, opens up with offenses. Remember, offenses are stumbling blocks. That is, obstacles along the trail which seem to keep people from getting to God. And they are a serious problem, right? In this neighborhood, they are. And you know what? Then we read about ourselves. Take heed to yourselves. There's something we can to kind of clear the name of Christianity that has to do with doing the right thing about our problems. When look, what if somebody does something you don't like, but it isn't a sin? Forget it. But if he trespasses against us, that means if he breaks a commandment of God, and we're the victim, then we're commanded. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. We're commanded to rebuke him, confront him. And if we are rebuked and it's justified, we are to repent. And if the man repents, we're to forgive him. It is a command. Thou shalt forgive him. Like, thou shalt not steal. Is it a sin to steal? So then, is it a sin to break the command, thou shalt forgive him? Oh, yes. Even if it's 7 times in a day, if he comes back and says, I repent, and it's credible, we are commanded to forgive him. And if Christian people handled our problems the right way, we would give the Lord the kind of reputation he needs to have in Akron, without a doubt. So we need to deal with that. And the apostles say, increase our faith. We need more faith. And then he tells them what to do about that, which I'm going to get into in just a minute. But he gives a parable about duty. Did you notice that? He says, if I do everything I'm commanded, and I don't know who does that, but if I do everything I'm commanded, I am to say, I'm a wonderful person because I have obeyed the Lord. Pat me on the back. He's going to say, well done. And if I do all that I'm commanded, I'm a super Christian. Is that what it says? This is an open book test. You can look down at the verse. What does he say that I would say after I've done everything I'm commanded? I'm an unprofitable servant. You ought to read that parable of the talents again. Did you know that what we usually call faithful is the way the guy lived who is unfaithful? Man gets, there's two parables, parable of the talents, parable of the pounds. And so this servant is given responsibility for some of his master's money. If he invests the money and makes a profit, he is told, well done, good and faithful servant. But you know what? The one who took the talent or the pound and hid it and put it away so he wouldn't lose it. Then his master comes back and says, thou wicked and slothful servant. That's interesting to me, Pastor. Slothful is a Book of Proverbs word. Lazy. You lazy servant. And then he takes away that which he has, and he doesn't reward him because he is unprofitable. You know, my Lord, it doesn't get a profit from me unless I do more than the minimum. And the ones who get rewarded are the ones who use what God gave them to give him a profit. And then we think, pastors, I was a pastor for a lot of years, we think somebody's faithful if they show up, and especially if they write the tithe check. They're faithful. These are faithful people. They haven't quit. They show up. But I tell you, that's not the kind who'll be rewarded. The rewarded ones are the faithful ones who have invested what the Lord has put in your life to give him a profit. So that good is done in the world. Maybe people are saved some other way. You see that? Unprofitable. Because I've only done my duty. But duty is minimal. Yeah, it's not to be commended. It is minimal. No kidding. Now watch. We read about our duty, which is about our mission. Like last night, we went home on a mission, maybe about approaching someone who needs to be approached. But now watch, he's talking about faith. And faith brings miracles. Okay, we'll get more into that now. Dear Lord, show us how to have the faith we need to see the miracles that really ought to happen right in our family, right in our town, and in our world. Oh Lord, the world does not have the right impression of you because they're not seeing miracles. Lord, may we be the ones through whom miracles come as you increase our faith. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible's true. Some kind of reaction out there. The Bible is true. You know what faith is? Believing it. See, if we come to this church, we're supposed to be Bible believers. A lot of Bible believers don't believe the Bible. And the real God shows up when we believe the Bible. And that's faith. Increase our faith. Now I got two more points from last night. Okay, ready? And you'll be glad you came. Number four. Faith increases as you use it. Now, they said, Lord, increase our faith. His response to that request was this. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, which I'm told is very small, ye might say unto this, there must have been a tree right next to him. You might say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea. The Sea of Galilee was right over there. And it should obey you. Wow. He's saying, you don't need more faith. Increase our faith. You don't need more faith. You need to use the faith you have. Now a sycamine tree is like a sycamore tree. And the sycamore tree is mentioned in the book of Luke, two chapters later. Who remembers the name of the publican who climbed up on a sycamore tree to see Jesus? That was Zacchaeus. Now, Luke was a doctor, and he knew that a sycamine tree, which is related to a sycamore tree, are two kinds of mulberry trees that have medicinal value. You can make medicine out of a sycamine or a sycamore tree. Now, the Lord Jesus said, if you had a little faith, it would be enough to move a tree. Isn't that an amazing thing? So he says, use the faith you have and use them for the matters at hand. See, I'm not standing before the Red Sea tonight. And if I wanted to, I couldn't take my staff and open up the Red Sea like Moses. See, I need to use my faith, what I've got, for the matters at hand. For my sermon, for my problems, for this town, the matters at hand. What are the matters at hand for you? What are the problems in front of you? You know what? Before you ask for more faith, start up by using the faith you have for the matters at hand. Now, here's an amazing passage about faith. It's back in Mark. Would everybody turn to Mark? Because I want you to see the words. Mark 11. Now, Jesus had just done a miracle, and they saw the miracle, and they wondered about it and asked a question. And in verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Okay, now I'll read the rest. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, probably the Mount of Olives, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow. Therefore I say unto you, said Jesus, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now the Lord said, you can move a mountain. Back in the prophet Zechariah's book, he tells the leader of the children of God, that is the people of God, he tells them, you can move this mountain, this obstacle to what God has called you to do. And Jesus said you can move it by faith. If you would believe it, you could command the mountain, it would move. How many of you Baptists believe that? Well, we better believe it. Jesus said it. Have faith in God. Now, we just read in Mark and Luke almost the same statement about using the faith we've got. But it's faith in God. You know what we hear out there a whole lot? We hear about faith in faith. And that's not the same as faith in God. See, some people teach that if you can force yourself to believe something unlikely will happen, you can make it happen by what they're calling faith. See, I knew some folks who went to a Pentecostal church, and members of their church, I'm told, came out to them and they had a learning disabled child. And they were told, if you had enough faith, you could heal him. The reason your boy is learning disabled, handicapped, is because you don't have faith. If you had faith, you could heal it. Now, is that what Jesus was saying? He certainly said, if you want to move a mountain or move a tree, if you would use the faith you got, you could move a tree or move a mountain, right? Did he say it? Okay, now watch. But he said, have faith in God, which isn't the same thing as faith in faith. If you study it and research it, there is a religious movement that's about faith in faith. Mind power? It is not Christianity. It's witchcraft. Worldwide witchcraft, that's what it is. That's why they have voodoo dolls. You know, I've got an enemy, and you know what? If I decide I'm going to give that enemy a pain in the back, I'm going to take this pin and make his neck hurt or his back hurt. Okay? That's faith in faith. See, mind power. But faith in God is different, a lot different. Give you an example. I like your pastor, Brother Knopp. We're going to get together or something on Friday. What if I said, I will meet you at McDonald's down here in Talmadge? Okay? And we said a certain time, what if that was what the idea was? Or what if I showed up at McDonald's in Talmadge? And I was standing around there, and one of the girls who works there came up to me, and she said, can I help you, sir? Do you want to make an order? No, I'm waiting for Pastor Knopp at Emmanuel. Oh, okay. What if I hung around a half hour past? She said, are you sure you don't want senior coffee? How do you know I'm a senior citizen? But anyway, don't you want anything? No, I'm waiting for Pastor Knopp. And then you know what? I started to get ticked off. And I started thinking, where is he? Where is he? He's an hour late. I wonder, where on earth is he? And she could tell I'm angry. And so she says, is there something wrong, sir? Yeah, Pastor Knopp was supposed to meet me here at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he wasn't here. Well, how do you know he was supposed to be here at 10? I just knew. Did he tell you he would meet you here at 10? Incidentally, I followed up the story at the beginning of the day. So I'm there waiting for Pastor Knopp, and the lady says, you seem upset. I'm upset. I'm disappointed in Pastor Knopp. You know why? He was supposed to meet me here at 10. Did he tell you he was going to meet you here at 10? No, we never talked about it. I just knew. I knew if I came to McDonald, and I thought, Pastor Knopp, Pastor Knopp, Big Mac, Pastor Knopp, he's coming. Oh, I know he's coming. I know he's coming. Why didn't he come? You know what the lady would say? She wouldn't say you're a religious man. She would say you're a nut. Now watch. Faith is based on some evidence. That's what it is. It means you're depending on someone. Okay? Have faith in God means this. If you'll just trust God, God will always do what he says he will do. He won't let you down. If God indicates to you that sycamine tree is going to move, don't doubt it. Now, can you have any doubt when you have faith? We've been taught so many wrong things. Can you have any doubt when you have faith? Oh, yeah. The man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou. There you go. A lot of us are believer doubters. See, John Rice used to say, anything between certainty and denial is faith. Even if you're not super sure. I saw a sign in somebody's house that said this, faith isn't believing that God can. It's knowing that God will. No, it's not. No, it's not. The leper came to Jesus and he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't say, I know you're going to heal me. He said, I know you could if you wanted to. And you know what? He got healed. That was enough faith. God likes faith. Okay, so use the faith of God. What kind of faith? Faith based on God's word. For example, you know this story. They're in a boat and a storm comes up. They think they're going to get swamped. And they're scared to death. And suddenly somebody looks, and there's somebody out there walking on those waves, that storm, those big waves. Somebody's walking on the water. Oh. It's a ghost. Then somebody says, no, the one walking on the water says, it's I. Be not afraid. And Simon Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me walk unto you on the water. And you know what Jesus did? He said, come on. That's in the Hebrew. Come on. And he stepped out of the boat and he could walk on the water. Why do you think Peter could walk on the water? Was he good at it? Was he an expert water walker? Had he done it before?
No.
Do you know why he could ever do it? Because Jesus told him he could. By commanding him. You know, a command indicates you can do what you're commanded to do. Another time in the stories of Jesus, he told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. He got in the boat, he was tired, so he went to sleep. Big storm comes up, as often does in the Sea of Galilee. They think they're going to drown. They wake Jesus up. They said, don't you care? We're about to drown. He stands up and he says, peace, be still. And he says, oh, you of little faith. Now, where did that come from? If they had faith, they would remember that he said, we're going to go to the other side. And you know what? No matter what happens in the middle, if Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side, you're going to make it. And I want to tell you something else that's important about life. And that is, often there's a storm in the middle. Often you'll step out on faith, and then right in the middle something happens that looks like it's not going to work. But I tell you, if you have God telling you, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's what faith is. Now, if faith was faith in faith, and you could just conjure up in your mind to move a mountain, there are no mountains in Ohio, are there? Okay, but you know what? You would think that these disciples would try it. In all the history of the world, none of the disciples ever moved a mountain. If what Jesus meant was conjure it up in your mind and convince yourself against reason that the mountain's going to move, that's faith. No, that's not faith. What he was saying is this. If I say it's going to happen, you believe it. And if it's in the Bible or the Holy Spirit tells you, when you pray, then believe that you're going to have it and it's yours. See? That's faith. And you know what? You use the faith you got for the matters at hand, like duty. The parable. Does the boss thank the employees for doing their job? I trow not. No, and when you've done your duty, don't look for thanks. Say, I'm an unprofitable servant because I did just what my duty was. Now watch. Did you know it takes faith to do your duty? The minimum? Matter of fact, try to remember all the way to last night. What are some of my duties when it comes to you? I've been around just a few days. People at Emmanuel are nice people. But what if one of you trespassed against me? What's my duty? Tell the preacher. You know what? That guy you had me in prayer over the offering, I tell you, he's not what you think he is. He's a J-E-R-K. He is bad. Because he did bad. What should I do if one of you sins against me? Rebuke him. Because it's mine. There we go. But it's going to take faith. See that? Faith for duty. And you know what? If I get rebuked for doing something wrong, like somebody said, you misquoted the Bible last night, Brother Flanders. You tried to deceive us. And then I realized, you know what? I did misquote it. I took it out of context. What should I do if you rebuke me and I figure out that you're right? What's my duty? Repent. Not if I feel like it. It's my duty. But it's going to take what for me to repent? See, faith for duty. And then if somebody says, you know, I was wrong, I wish you'd forgive me. What's my duty? To forgive you. My duty. So faith increases as you use it. And what we need to do is use the little faith we've got for the matters at hand, like our duties, like the Christian life. Now, number five, this is my last point. Faith for life becomes faith for miracles. What are you talking about? Okay, now watch. You know where I learn faith? I use it for life. See? And I need to use faith for life. Sometimes we think that when we get saved, it's by grace through faith. But when it comes to living for Jesus, I'm on my own. I buckle down. I grit my teeth, put my nose to the grindstone, and try as hard as I can to do right. You know, read my Bible, pray, be nice to my wife, tell the truth, apologize to people when I'm wrong. I'm on my own. Oh, no. If you're on your own for living the Christian life, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be a flop. Because without him, we can do nothing. So I need to learn to live by faith. Now, do we ever use that term wrong? When somebody says they live by faith, they usually mean they're poor. I've been around situations where someone who is probably sacrificial will say, well, you know, Brother Flanders, I'm not made of money. I live by faith. That's a funny thing to say. You know, I'm a missionary. I live by faith. I don't have a lot of money. I can't buy the books. I live by faith. Now, let me ask you, if I live by faith when it comes to money, who lives by faith in? Faith in whom? No, wait a minute. If I say I live by faith, and I'm talking about my income, you know, pay the bills, put food on the table, who do I have faith in when I say I live by faith? Now, who do I mean? If I say I live by faith, I mean I live by faith in God. Is he poor? Does live by faith mean I don't have any money? No, it means I have an unlimited supply. Isn't it interesting how we do that? But now, live by faith isn't really about money. We use it that way. It's about everything. It's about my response to you. It's about the way I treat my family. It's about telling the truth. It's about witnessing, because I am a natural-born sinner. And if I trust in myself, I'm going to fail. So I trust in Jesus Christ for the power to live the Christian life. I live by faith. See? Get up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to keep your commandments today because I love you. Okay, but you know how weak I am. So I'll probably fail. And Lord, you probably know the area in which I'll fail because it is my besetting sin. Okay, so Lord, I'm going to trust you for the power I don't have. I can't, but you can. And I'm going to put my faith in you just to live right. Just to stand up straight. Just to keep walking. I'm going to trust, like walking on water. Did Peter live by faith when he was walking on the water? Oh, yeah, I know he failed eventually, but he was doing pretty good there for a while because he was putting his faith in God. He didn't say, oh, walking on water, that's a piece of cake because I'm good at it. You know, I've learned how to walk on water since I was a kid. No, no, nobody can walk on water. He was doing what nobody can do. And did you know you living a holy life is something you can't do? You being a good Christian is fiction. Can't be done. But Jesus can help you. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in, right? Right? Okay, now watch. So we start by faith for life. Just everyday life. Not to worry, but have faith. Not to back off, but have faith. Trust God for everything I need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My Christian life is not I can't, it's I can. See, faith, get living that way. Now watch, here's what I'm going to show you. If you exercise faith for duty, it eventually becomes faith for miracles. See, if it's faith for life, it becomes faith for the bigger things. And here's the story. Look at verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. Now, hold on, let me tell you about that. Leviticus 13 and 14 gives instruction to priests about how to tell when a man's a leper. And when you determine that the problem is leprosy, there are rules. Lepers cannot be a part of polite society. They're cast out. How many of you knew that? Lepers, leprosy represents sin, so they're cast out. And so the priest says, he's a leper. He's not allowed to be involved in temple worship. He's going to have to move out of town. He's a leper. Chapter 13. Leviticus 14 tells the priest what to do when a leper shows up and he's healed, and how to prove he is healed. And when they find out he's healed, he offers sacrifices, that is, the priest does, to ceremonially cleanse him and take him off the leper list so he can be involved in everything. Okay, now, what's interesting about this, leprosy was an incurable disease. And as far as we know, the first leper that ever fulfilled Leviticus 14 was the one in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that Jesus healed. Now, when he showed up to see the priests, it was surprising. Because they learned it in seminary, the ritual when a leper is cleansed, only they never saw a leper cleansed. Maybe in class they said, Professor, a leper has never been healed. Why do we learn this? He says, I don't know, keep your mouth shut. And they learn. One day, a guy on the leper list shows up. The one who earlier says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He says, go to the priests. So he goes down there. It's Leviticus 14. He says, I want to be taken off the leper list. And I want the ritual of the sacrifices. And they go, look up that chapter 14 again. How do we check to make sure he's not a leper anymore? He's on the leper list. Sure. Never seen it before. That's one of the reasons the Lord had him go to the priest for a testimony to them. Wow, the Son of God has come. So they, now watch. Here there are 10 of them on another occasion. And they say, have mercy on us. And the Lord Jesus says, you go show yourselves to the priest because I am hereby healing you. Go show yourselves to the priest. And verse 14, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. So here they are. I love to imagine these things, don't you? Here they are. They're lepers, hopeless. There's the Son of God. Here's a chance. Help us, have mercy on us. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. And they still have fingers gone. Their skins are still white. You know, they're still lepers. And they get going on their way down to the temple. Somebody goes, oh, wait a minute. Look at you. Your nose is back. Man, oh man, look, like my finger's back. Man, no leprosy at all, like Naaman. Wow. Now, the point is later in the story that how many of them went back, turned around and went back to Jesus? Just one before they went to the priest. But as they went is when they were healed. Now listen to this. They exercised faith or duty. It was their duty to go to the priest. Jesus commanded them. When they were exercising their faith for duty, they got faith for a miracle. See? Faith for life, faith for miracles. Isn't that amazing? And so we need to live the life. John 13 through 17, it has to do with the Holy Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit, for the power to live like you're not able to do. And then we'll learn tomorrow night. We're going to read John 15, are we? What a coincidence. I'm preaching from John 15. And you see how that happened. Where he says, abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. So it's for life. Now, you might be facing something in your life that makes it hard to be a good Christian. Trust Christ for the power. Power to forgive. Power to say what you ought to say. Power to live it. Power to go home to somebody not very encouraging about Christianity. Power to be a witness. See, and you know what? It's there. And you know how you learn about the power of faith? Exercise it for your daily life. Here you go. That's where you start faith for life. It's the Christian life. So you walk by faith in Jesus, not by sight. And you know what? That shows us faith. Now watch. I go from faith for life and duty to faith for miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. We need miracles, like the miracle of that leprosy. Now, here they are at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and many of them live right, basically, but not necessarily from the heart. So at the revival meetings, they learn about living by faith in Jesus. That's abide in me. And I'm going to get up in the morning and say, "Dear Lord, I'm going to live a holy life. I'm going to live just like you want me to, but I don't really have the power. So I'm going to trust you for a miracle today." And on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they have three miracle days. Wow, it's not me. This isn't me. This is Jesus. I have boldness. I have love. I have kindness that I don't really have. Wow. Now, you know what that does? Sets us up to have faith for miracles. To believe in the things that we need to believe in. Right here in Talmadge. Like what? We need to believe the Bible enough to have a vision of the church based on the Bible and not on our past. You know, preachers have a problem with this, where a lot of their faith has to do with their experience. You know, I know we were taught in Bible college that this would happen, but it won't. You know, we were taught in Bible college if we pray to be filled with the Spirit, we get out and hit the doors, people will get saved, the church will grow, but you and I know better than that. I got taught that when I was a young preacher. Older guys would say, "Rick, it's not like they say at Bible college." I tell you what, you know what? People who say that are offending a young preacher, causing him to stumble. See, but I'm not just talking to preachers. I only got a couple preachers in this room. I'm talking to all of us. You know what we ought to think about our church? We ought to think about our church according to that. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whoa! The most important institution in town with very, very great possibilities. Book of John, Book of Acts, powerful evangelism. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. We need to have a vision of the church from the Bible and not from the past. Uh-huh. And so here we're going to go. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, most important institution in town. And I represent the Church of Jesus Christ, and I represent Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go up to a perfect stranger. You know why I'm going to do that? Jesus said, "All authority, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You know why he said that? People have a right to say, what right have you to talk to me about my soul? Here's the right I have. The risen Son of God gave me the authority. Here we go. Young, old, decrepit, discouraged. When we walk out of church, we say, you know, the Bible's true. You know what faith is? Believing that the Bible is true. And I believe the Bible's true, and the Bible's true about our church. What we should expect at Evangel Baptist Church is what we see in the Bible, not what we remember from the past, the church we grew up in, other churches. We all have these sob stories. Oh, the great Akron Baptist Temple, gone. You know what would be interesting about a lot of these large churches of the past? To actually go back and decide why that happened. There are reasons. But I'll tell you, don't end up saying that what it says in here ain't really so. Don't get your hopes up. You know, that book, it'll just get you to believe stuff. That just isn't going to happen. You're going to fall for that. I'm going to tell you, my people shall not be ashamed. That's the book of Joel. Word ashamed means disappointed. He said, I'll never let my people down. Now you got to understand what the Bible says. But when you understand what the Bible says, believe it with all your heart until you die. That's what's wrong with our world today. And that is that Christian people have no faith. You know what we need to have? We need to have a vision of the abundant life from the book of John and not from our own experience. I got saved. I expected I'd get other people saved. I expected that I'd be able to quit all my sins. I expected that I would find the will of God for my life. But you know what? I've had a few disappointments in life. No, it's not your disappointments. You know what it is? You listen to the devil. I used to think that people get bitter at God because of the way he deals with them. And because they don't understand why he didn't do what they expected him to do. But then I figured out, no, people don't lose faith or get bitter because of the way God handled them. They lose faith and get bitter because of the spin the devil puts on it. Do you know what spin is? Do you remember Bill Clinton? Spin. The way the devil explains it. It's the devil who says, oh, you're in the ministry, eh? What a great thing. What about those people that left the church? What about that guy that insulted you? Doesn't look too great now, does it? How are you going to feed your family? How are you going to live your life? What's going to happen to you? You know who that is? Beelzebub. And he's not your friend. You know what? We need to increase our faith, and that starts by faith for life, just for daily life. Then you know what happens? As they went, a miracle happens. Faith for life becomes faith for miracles and a vision of the abundant life from the book of John, not from my experience. And we get to the book of Philippians that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can witness. I can quit stuff I need to quit. I can do things I need to do. I can, because he's going to help me. Wow. That needs to come back. This city is desperate for Christians who will have faith. Use the faith you've got just to live your life, and then let God develop it into faith for miracles. And I say, as I finish tonight, go for it. Go for it. Say, you know what? I'm going to step out on the Bible like a guy walking on water. Say, Lord, you said, there was a church in Arizona where I was there on a Sunday morning. And they were a church plant, and this wasn't their first pastor, but it was like their second, and he was a really good man. And I was there for revival meetings, and this is outside of Phoenix. I'll know pretty quick. He was that close to getting put on full time. I'm not talking about this church necessarily. Did you know a full-time pastor is better for the church than a part-time? Now, you can't be crazy. You can't make a promise to a man's family that you can't keep. But you know what? You need to exercise some faith at some point. I know that if a pastor put on full time, it'll be at a time when there are unanswered questions. And you know what? Well, faith involves unanswered questions. You know, everybody ever went to Bible college went and said, I don't think I can pay for this. See, everybody ever went to the mission field and said, how am I going to get over there? You may have some answers, but not all of them. That's faith, and that pleases God. So this church, they were close. And you know what? I was there, and in my mind, I was saying, go for it. Go for it! And they didn't. I didn't. Was it the influence? They can't blame me. But in a few weeks, they went for it. And they just raised his salary, didn't have the money. And you know what? They're launched. That Sunday, another time I was in Phoenix, I was at a church that was in a rented building. They were another church plant, but they ran 200 people. New church running 200 people. And they were renting a building for church. Interesting place to preach. It was a building that would belong to like NASA, the space people. And on the wall behind you when you were preaching were those, images of the of evolution. The Neanderthal man, the Cro-Magnon man, they were behind me when I was preaching. I should have preached against that because it wasn't a church building. And the week I was there, then a piece of property came up. A little too expensive. A little too expensive for them. But if they bought that property, they might be able to build a building. And you know what I was thinking? Go for it. Go for it! It's the Church of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, pray about it. But go for it! What I'm telling you right now is the faith you use right now, God wants to expand. And faith for life will grow to faith for miracles. And this church and this town needs miracles. They need a God who's real and shows himself by doing the impossible for people like us. Do you know what kind of a man God needs to do a miracle? A weak man! A man who can't, like me! But we'll trust God to do what he says he will do. Don't you think? What do you think? But you start the easy way. And that is, with the matters at hand, by exercising what faith you've got, and live your life every day by faith, and then let God expand it. And before you know it, what you got is revival. Who would say to me, I think you made sense, raise your hand. I'm going to go home very, very discouraged. Okay, good. Dear God, thank you for how good you are and how absolutely reliable you are. It is perverse that a man would not believe God. So we're going to believe you with what faith we've got. First, for the matters at hand and our daily life. And then we ask you to increase our faith so we'll see things happen right here that nobody would ever dream would happen. Lord, the story's been good all the years of Emmanuel Baptist Church, but we know you can write a better chapter. And we put the pen in your hand and ask you to do the thing you want to do. And we'll give you the glory. With our heads bowed, I want to ask you this. Who would say to me, Brother Flanders, I've got a matter at hand about which I must decide, will I believe or not? I've got a matter right now, not a dream way up ahead. I've got a matter in my life right now where the decision I have to make is, will I believe God or won't I? And I'm choosing right now to believe. I'm going to tell God, I believe. I believe, and I'm going to take the step I need to take about the matter at hand, my duty, and believe God for what I need to be able to do my duty. If that's you, would you raise your hand, please, and we'll pray a very important prayer right now. Hold up your hands. Hold them up. Hold them up. Oh, dear God, we come at a time that's critical for our lives. You have put into our lives a special situation where we're going to either depend on you or walk away from you. We're either going to see a miracle or it's going to be a disaster. Oh, Lord, we are telling you, we're going to believe you. We're going to step out of the boat and believe your word and depend on you. Oh, God, help us to live by faith so that one day we can believe you for something gigantic. Oh, God, help us. And, okay, I really am a little bit averse to doing something normal. So here's what I'm really saying. We'll probably have music, but I want to ask you, if you have an issue like that, to step out from where you are, find a place somewhere in the auditorium besides where you're sitting, get down to God on your knees and say, I'm going to believe you, God, I'm going to believe you and do this. Would you do that? People are coming. Why don't you stand up, please? We'll all stand up. And I don't know if our sister has a song to play, but if you want to kneel down, you can. You don't have to play any music. But if you will decide to tell the devil to get out of your head and just get down and say, God, I'm going to believe you and take this step by faith, that'll be a gigantic move. It really will. That'll lead to greater things. Yeah, folks all over the room are there in the back kneeling down. And if you can't kneel and you can just pray, will you believe God based on what he said? Not on something you conjured up in your mind, but on scripture. Believe God because God is real and faith is believing his word. Let's let each other pray. For Jesus, we can be more than we are for him. But you know what? Our church can be more than it is for him. And the key is faith. Believe. After you've told him what you need to say, you can go right on back to where you were. Pastor, come on.